Welcome to Thoughtfully Us, the space where three therapists of color sit down to talk about mental health, real life, and the human side of healing. We're colleagues, friends, and licensed therapists. And so in this podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on not just therapy, but on being people of color in this field and on the parts of life we don't always get to process in the therapy room. So whether you're in therapy, thinking about it, or just trying to make sense of your own healing journey, we're so glad you're here. A quick disclaimer is that this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy, medical advice, or diagnosis. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship with any of the hosts. Tease up for Thoughtfully Us. Well, hello.
Hey, everyone.
How's everyone doing?
How am I doing? I feel like today's been such a blur, I don't even know.
That could be a loaded question, right?
Yeah. Loaded question. I feel mixed. It's Friday when we're recording, even though the episodes drop Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That's always a nice feeling. But maybe tired too. Long week of doing the work.
Well, Morgan just rushed in too, so think of our lives sometimes of jumping in to from one thing to another, but having to be fully present in the thing, the next thing we've jumped into.
Right.
I often think about how much we neglect when we have to be like so present. Like I'll have all these thoughts and feelings, and then I'll jump into another session and be like in there. And then like, where did all those thoughts and feelings go?
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. For those wondering, Nellie called me out on the spot, but I was a little late because I was stuck behind a school bus of kids that stopped at every street. And so, yeah. Happy that the kids are off. We're out of school for the day.
Yes. Back to school. Crazy times. I feel like everyone, even if you don't have school-age kids, it's just something's in the air back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like urgency and rush and traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
My to answer.
The question, the loaded question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who are you? How much time do you have? Kidding.
We are off the clock.
I had a very relaxing day and was able to watch TV, which is wonderful. And just kind of like wind down this week. It was busy. It was hectic. It was everything. So excited for a hopefully restful weekend. The weather's been nice. So that's good.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right.
I will say before we kind of jump into our topic, I definitely wanted to take a moment to thank our listeners and supporters for, well, one, their support. We love being able to kind of connect with other people, whether we know them already or are meeting them as we're recording and providing episodes and content. But I think everyone's been very sweet to all of us. All three of us, I feel like, have had moments kind of throughout all these previous and recent episodes of keeping it real and raw, which is what we wanted to do and what our podcast aims to continue to do. And so it can be nerve-wracking, I think, for us at times. Sometimes we might say things and then later we're like, wait, we said this on the podcast, or let people in very closely to a lot of personal things. But I think it's been nice to get, again, feedback, support, and maybe a listener that can also relate. So we just appreciate all of our listeners for everything.
Well, so definitely. Thanks for pointing that out, Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, for today's topic, we are going to look at pop psychology, which, you know, the word, yes, it makes sense, like pop culture, all the things, but mainly talking about the way therapy has become very mainstream through various platforms on social media and all of that too. I mean, I just feel like when we all, I remember episode one, we kind of talked about why we all got into the field a little bit, and I don't think we could have imagined how
much therapy talk and therapists day to day has really taken off on social media.
Yeah.
Definitely. For, I will say, in a lot of really great ways, and there's also some impacts that are not so great.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a mixed bag.
Mixed bag, mixed spectrum. And all the things that, like, we were talking about Vine. I forget when that, which episode, but like, just everything now that social media is and can be, is crazy too. So yeah, let's dive in. So what do you mean by, or I guess as therapists who are also chronically online, what do we think about the, like, it's almost like breaking down like the third wall, if they talk about reality TV, like being professional, but also having our own personal pages and how we show up in our image on both platforms or like the different profiles. What do you guys think about that? How do you manage both? Because I don't have a professional profile, technically. But you both do. Nellie with her private practice. Maya with her eating disorder work as she's trying to be a, you know, gain traction and be a voice in the field. So how do you guys manage having separate lives on social media?
Yeah. It's scary. I don't know if it's scary, I think, because we didn't know much about it. Like, this is all kind of newer in the last few years. I think the pandemic was something that really sparked social media. So a lot of therapists who are kind of really big in the world of podcasting, Instagram, TikTok, I think some of them started around the time everything was shut down to just kind of like, one, provide support to other people, and also to say, like, I'm still seeing clients and try to get therapy referrals that way, because a lot of people then were open to virtual sessions. And so I think that helped in the way of virtual, still wonderful, still amazing and great. But I know some clients feel like, oh, it's great to be able to just kind of see my therapist before I meet them or get a sense of their personality or things that they're into as well. And then I think it's also a good resource page. I've met a lot of good connections online and always feel like people are so creative. I feel like I say that all the time. Wow, this is so great. I wish I was, I'm not good with like color schemes and all of that. So that's a learning curve, but I think it's been really great just to see what people can create and what they can share.
You've been crushing it, Maya. Like, even though you feel like you're like, I'm not good with color schemes and stuff like that. One, you are. Two, and I know this from various parties you've planned to in life and personal events, you got color schemes down. But also, like, your page is really good.
Thank you. I
think it goes back to that self-critic piece. And
yeah,
that's a huge part about having an Instagram page. Which I really did not want to make one. I was like, oh, I kept being told over and over again that I had to make one, that it would be what was best for my practice and like getting my name out there. I still don't like having it. Like, sometimes I was actually thinking recently with like Thoughtful Yes, like our Instagram and like how much more fun it is. And I'm like, ugh, I should do some more of these things that people have been telling me to do for a long time, like make reels and stuff like that on Healing Awaits' Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't. It's like more resources and like educational and like informational.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as therapists, we're always like teetering. There's that line of like, our ethics and things like that. Like, I feel like we're constantly having to like, disclaimer, this is not us saying that, like, and that, that's a lot. But I feel like every time I'm like, okay, maybe I don't have, like, maybe I'm being paranoid, then I feel like another story comes out where it's like, this person got in trouble for this. And you're like, oh gosh, okay. So I find the Instagram to be somewhat tiring just because I'm not good at it. Social media is not my thing.
That's not what I thought you were gonna say, because I thought you were gonna be like, I love it so much, and then
you did 180,
which is fair.
You thought it was a lot. Wait, did you think I was gonna lie, or do you think I love it?
No, I don't know. The way I think the tone in your voice was, I thought you were wrapping up with something.
Oh.
Like, oh, I love it, and it's been so fun. No. But then you were like, it's tiring.
Keeping it raw and real here. And, like, one time I had to post a video, and I don't know. I like, had a conversation with some of my clients about it, because, like, they know me and, like, know me as a therapist, and we were just laughing at how, like, they could tell I was nervous in it and, like, felt.
Aww. In the video?
That's yes. Nice. And I definitely did, because I do find it awkward and I'm not good at it. But that's something you both, like, Morgan on social media, networking queen.
Canva queen.
Canva queen.
Get me offline.
Networking queen. She will. So it's actually interesting, Morgan, that it's Maya and I with the pages.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you do a lot of work in your, like, profession. Yeah. But, like, a personal career, like, yeah.
Page, yeah, I know.
That's interesting.
I thought about it, but sounds like so much work.
That's why you're amazing at the Thoughtfully Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't do much, but I do like engaging with people on there. Mm-hmm. And Threads, I used to be an active Twitter user, and then Twitter just went to shambles. I don't even know what it's called anymore. X, just kidding. I use Threads now, which is somewhat like a nicer version of Twitter. Like, people are nice on there. Not as funny as Twitter was, but anyway, I find a lot of, like, connections, because people are like, hey, if you're a therapist in the DMV area, Maryland, Virginia, DC, and are interested in, like, focusing on maternal health or want to work with women of color, like, there's just ways to network on there that I don't really see anywhere else. So that's been kind of cool. But yeah, I can imagine
it's good for a lot of different professions. So, like,
yeah,
obviously we follow a lot of therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, but then there's, like, medical, nutritionists, you know, authors,
the range, yoga instructors. I see.
Yeah, yoga instructors. Yeah. So, like, a lot around that world too, which has been really cool. And then some people are just super creative and so good at, like, quotes and all these things. Yeah. And, like, wow, these are beautiful. And they, like, really speak to a lot of my clients are really into things like art and music and all that. So it's been nice to be able to tell them, like, oh, you should check this person out too.
Yeah.
It's so nice when you can direct a client to, like, a client who like uses the internet and, like, in that way, or social media in that way. It's so nice to provide them that resource. 'Cause I feel like there's a lot of books and stuff, but we live, like, a lot of people are just too busy to, like, sit down and read. And, like, a lot of, there's some really great books postpartum, like, but a lot of, like, maternal mental health providers talk about the difficulty with, like, telling a new mom
to read.
Like, that it's like, if we can get a shower and eat three meals in the same day, like, that's the win. Reading is probably not gonna happen. I think, like, sometimes social media, where you are, like, doom scrolling during a contact nap or something like that, feels more feasible in that way. But I think there's a lot of really great resources. And I think, Morgan, you touched on this a couple episodes ago, of people on social media who have, like, no license or background or training, who are giving out therapeutic advice or information or even diagnoses. And I've come across a lot of videos. Yeah. Moment for that, because dangerous thing.
Very dangerous, yeah.
I mean, it's dangerous even as therapists. Like, with our background, we still wouldn't be, like, diagnosing someone. I mean, I think we've all been, like, watching something like the Love Island reunion or something like that, and we're like, oof, this person appears to be struggling with something like this, but we're not like, oh, this person is that, right? And so even with our training and background, we're not making diagnoses about people outside of the therapy space. So it's crazy that other people do. Yeah. And I'm just thinking about a lot of buzzwords in recent years.
Yes. Okay. Let's name
them.
Okay. The first one that comes to mind for me is gaslighting.
Yep.
Yes.
Big buzzword. I'm also thinking about like setting a boundary. Like boundaries mm-hmm. are really important, but and sometimes like
yeah.
Not actually what people think they are.
Yeah.
And that made me think of the boundary thing. What's that really popular book right now with the green cover? Let Them Theory.
Oh, Let Them Theory, yeah.
Which there's some truth in Let Them, but there's a lot of not ideal things about Let Them, but that could be a whole other episode mm-hmm. as well.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Another one I know we've talked about in like our lives, but buzz diagnoses is like narcissism. So like who actually mm-hmm. is the narcissist? What is actually a narcissistic trait personality mm-hmm. as well? And then Morgan last episode talked a little bit about like the DSM-5 and how things have changed over time. So like how certain yeah. criteria has changed or there's certain behaviors, you know, needed to kind of fill that. And so I think that kind of gets lost when things are buzzwords, whether it's like you guys already mentioned the gaslighting, the boundaries, the narcissism, and also autism too.
Mm-hmm. The amount of clients,
oh, yes.
maybe not recently, but like in the past who would come to session and be like, so I was on TikTok or I was on social media and this person said I might have this or I could be part of this spectrum. I'm like, okay. Like it's, what?
I did like a good training a couple, maybe a year ago on self-diagnosing and like on social media. And I expected to like leave the training with tools on like how to inform people that self-diagnosing isn't like always the most appropriate thing. And I was actually surprised that this presenter started off with being like, let's first like come from a place of appreciation that like the fact mm-hmm. that these diagnoses are even out there and like being talked about in this way and people feel empowered and invalidated. And I was like, true. Okay. Like I will take a breath and true. Like, and so I do see like that there is so much benefit in having these conversations over like social media platforms and things like that. Mm-hmm. We're like spreading the word about a lot of different diagnoses, characteristics that's mm-hmm. helping people in relationships, people determining if a relationship is healthy or not. Like, awareness is amazing and knowledge is power. Exactly. And a lot of times when this is presented on social media, it's like very convincing or like almost telling rather than a place of curiosity mm-hmm. or like it could be this, but it could also be A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like there's no, like that last part I feel like is forgotten. It's just the, are you suffering from this, this, and this? You probably have this. And it's like, or you have like all these other things that mm-hmm. potential possibilities.
Yeah.
So I think it was like episode 2 or 3, we talked about over pathologizing and just mm-hmm. the need to kind of diagnose some things that are truly mm-hmm. like human
yes. right.
behaviors, tendencies that yeah. are completely like.
Yeah, there's the DSM-5. Well, anyways, I think when there's a background on diagnosing, you can ask anyone. It's like there's a lot of times a lot of things overlap. Mm-hmm. You have to rule out X, Y, and Z. Like some of these are really finite, specific. And so when you were saying like, oh, I have this one trait, could I have this? And it's like, no, you could have actually a numerous amount of things associated to or like the positive symptoms of it, the negative symptoms, like so much that I think people don't understand. That kind of goes into determining, assessing, evaluating for diagnosis.
Most definitely.
Agreed. But yeah. So that is something I noticed. But what are some trends you all enjoy seeing from other therapists who are also content creators, who are also using their platform to kind of shed light on the field and the profession?
I kind of like, I like the day in the life.
I knew why I was going to say day in the life.
I love it. And I've been, mine shows me a lot of like medical, some people medical school or residency, and that I used to work at a hospital. So it's actually cool. And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember doctors and nurses telling me X, Y, Z about their day and how early they start. And my heart goes out to them every time. But I do like knowing that because I think it helps. And then there's good ones for therapy as well, like a therapist day and like a clinic or a private practice. That's really cool. Just to see how things kind of change day by day and also how they make time for personal and professional things, kind of give like a balance of, yeah, I like have a good, you know, steady and really important work life, but I also can balance it with, you know, exploring where I live and spending time with friends and eating and hydrating, like those important kind of self-care things too.
Yeah, I like the ones that are like realistic. Like I know they're, I feel like when I first came out, like, or became trendy, it was a lot of times ones that felt more like informative in some ways. And then I feel like people noticed that and were like, realistic day in the life. Like, here's my realistic, not like, what did they say? Like 5 to 9 after my 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And I love that because sometimes it's just people like on their phone, on their couch. They're like, right. I can't do it today. And I'm like, yes, we all feel that. And
relate.
Comparison's so like such a, it's strong. And so sometimes I find myself when I watch them, like, what? I want to be able to do that. And like, why can't I do that? Or especially again, in like this kind of stage of my life right now, like seeing moms who are like doing all these things with their babies and like out and about. And I'm like, leaving the house is so hard. I'm like, why can't it be easier for me? But, or like, what's wrong with me that makes it hard? But then you go to the comments and I feel like comment sections are just so good these days.
I know. So real.
So real. And like the comments are like there was this one video I watched of a mom, like a realistic day in the life. And then it wasn't. And I was like, or it wasn't for me. It might've been for this person. But I was like, oh no, that is not what that would have looked like for me. And then the comments were filled of like other people kind of relating to what I was thinking. And I was like,
huh. Oh, nice. So you weren't alone in your thoughts.
Yes. And then there are other people in the comment section who were like, no, this is what it's like for me. Right. So like we all have individual experiences and that's one thing I like about the comment section, which can also, comment section can also be really scary.
It's a scary place.
It can be.
A very scary place.
Realized on TikTok. I posted one, well, a few TikToks because I just got the app. I'm so late. But I knew, when did it first come out? 2020?
No. Yeah,
2021?
Earlier than that. No. Oh. Earlier. Like in 2018 or 19, some teen groups that I like was in or was running where they were like raving about it. Early because of them.
Okay. Well, whenever that was, I knew if I got it then I wouldn't do anything else. Like it would just ruin my productivity and, you know, so I never got it. But then I was like, you know, people keep sending me TikToks. I can't open them. So let me just get one. So I made some videos. Obviously, they're not good, but there was one that I thought was really funny. And the comments, people just one person.
Yeah,
dragged me, and I haven't posted since.
Well, you did try and post after on a Thoughtfully Us TikTok.
Oh, yes.
Which I quickly was like, Morgan, there are rules in the TikTok world, and they're sounds. Can you hear my dog scratching?
Nope.
Our dogs are coming to the gram soon. Don't worry.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But they're trending TikTok sounds that like mean certain things. Like one sound means like something sad in someone's life. Or like there's that one song that you always hear for like scary videos about the ocean or like boats or something. Like there's like everything is associated with something. And so Morgan, as someone who's not on TikTok, used a sound that is frequently used when somebody like passes away. And just posted like something about Talia.
I was trying not to laugh. I was like, oh.
I was like, what is this? Delete this.
I know.
And then Maya and I had to explain that TikTok is a scary place.
Yeah. I lost privileges, but I'll be back.
But the day, listeners, the day that we are back on TikTok, know that I am not in support, but these two push me outside my comfort zone as they are.
Oh, yeah. As we should.
Yes.
Yeah. Just goes to show the comments can be a scary place for sure. Yeah.
But I've seen a lot. We're all social, all three of us, I think, explaining the first episode, we're all clinical social workers. Social work talk is big, actually. And I didn't really know that. Like, again, I think
social work talk.
See, guys, see, this is what I mean.
Yes.
No idea.
Talk. Is that like a hashtag?
We said talk.
Like, yeah, like she TikTok. Doesn't know what, like, she doesn't know that, like,
talk or she's like, I was like, what's wrong? Okay, so yes, Morgan will not be on her. If you see TikToks, it's not Morgan. It's probably
not Morgan. There's like little subgroups on TikTok, and
like
it would
mom
be
talk. Mom talk.
Like the and Mormon then, wives, moms. Yeah.
But like, it, or it could be parent talk or like on book talk and like book talk. So Maya's saying social work.
Social work talk. A lot of social workers have used the platform, and there's different things like a few people I've seen help social workers prepare for like their license exam, just ask random questions throughout their, you know,
day
and eat and everything too. And then there's just stuff on like, here's how to make, you know, like a program or launch like a book or that kind of thing. So there's just a lot of good insight too that I like. I think I'm obviously haven't seen everything, and I plan to do more just also get ideas for ours, but really great of the resources on there too, even though at times I know I get mad at myself when I'm on my phone too much.
You it's like
because it think like it is so informative and so hard, because I like I do go to my TikTok like for stuff like for products, or if I'm like, man, I wish they really made something like this, this would be so helpful. And then I look it up on TikTok and I'm like, oh, they do. Like, and then I like go find it online or whatever. But when TikTok was down for that, was it even a day? I don't remember.
I don't know. Was but it?
I was
it felt like forever.
Newly postpartum. Like, I had just had my baby and I was like, no. Like, they. This guy looked everything up on here. Like, it was helping me understand her sleepy cues and when to put her down and tiredness and like just all of this stuff. And I realized then, like, I'm on this thing.
Everyone was freaking out. Yeah, I remember. So I didn't have it then.
So, and I wonder if people like the way that I run to it to look up stuff about like I'm sure that there's people like a doctor who'd be listening or something and be like, no, don't look that up on there, like, no, don't do that. So I just wonder if other people like look up therapy stuff on there, like look up things about their diagnoses, and it just scares me. Like, there's so much good information, and also there's like none of it is kind of like gone through or
what's the word?
Filtered
or checked, or
there's a word.
There's not.
There is a word.
Reviewed, but
reviewed.
I don't know the word, but yes, I understand what you're saying, and I think that makes sense.
It's driving me nuts, but yes, it's.
And I think with pop psychology, which I also include, again, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever you may have. LinkedIn, sure. Facebook is big for therapists to use and collaborate. And then just like virtual sessions. So I think just kind of going back with that of like, or virtual groups, whatever, of just the way also that insurance and everything else has to adjust with the changes too. Like the disclaimers and all of that as well.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite part are the memes.
Morgan, how are you gonna be on TikTok account We'll have a TikTok account. If you don't even know what talk is, sorry, I'm bringing it back to that.
Yeah, I was like, what? That was new. We left that 5 minutes ago. I'm going to learn, teach myself, and figure out what in the world TikTok is. I only really watch Nicolandria edits.
So. I was cracking up because I know you do, because the Thoughtfully Us Instagram page, like, Nicolandria's all over it. It's literally over.
Oh, yeah, I followed Elandria and Nick on that page, too.
Yeah,
so got a support from all accounts.
Yes. And that's how you know that Morgan mainly does our Instagram.
Yes, that is true. So I was going to say, to the listeners out there, do you have, I think it's called time limit?
Screen time.
Screen time. Do you have screen time on? I do, which is why I should know what it's called. But are you someone who will actually listen to it? Or do you always press remind me later for 15 more minutes?
Wait, I don't use it. Tell me. You can hit.
Yeah. Goodbye. So it'll pop up. Like, your time is done for the day, whatever you set for the apps. And you can do 1 more minute, 15 more minutes, or never mind or something, disregard. I always press 15 minutes. But I'm like, do people actually listen to it and, like, stop and get off their phone or off the app?
Wait, so what's the point if you always have 15 minutes?
Well, that's the downfall.
I got it.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry.
I think the psychology behind it is when you see it, it's like an alert, like, okay. And then you can decide what to do from there.
It's like surfing the urge, which is a technique I use a lot. But that urge, like, that first line of defense is saying, hey, you set this time. Do you want to push past this or leave it alone? I had it, but I obviously don't use it now because I would just cancel out of it all the time. Either, like, put my phone down or just say, like, remind me. And so then I was like, I'll just. But
okay, I found it.
Cleanse.
I'm going to hold it up to the screen. So if you're not watching on YouTube, you won't be able to see it. But there's three options. And it says time limit. It's
very dark.
Oh.
She had us looking at her.
My sister, quick tangent. My sister and my brother used to make fun of me because my screen was always too bright.
Yes.
And now they're saying it's too dark.
No, we're just saying
time limit.
We're just saying if you were going to show us the options.
Ignore limit for today. Huh, very interesting. You just called her your sister. You don't call her that. You call her your twin.
Maya and my brother.
Guys, I'm on a journey here.
I know, Cornelli.
Listeners can hear this journey because I've been on it for many years.
Many, many, many years.
Yeah.
And it will never end. But that's so interesting. Okay, so screen time can help. Well,
are you asking listeners and us, like, if we would prefer something tougher to break through for screen time? Because that would help.
No, but that could be a question, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. Could help. I don't know what else it would be, so. Unless I, like, just turn your phone off, that'd be crazy.
Take my phone and run? I don't know.
What if there's
today no fit? National Cheese Pizza Day. Oh, I'm already on Instagram.
Girl. She picked her phone up to show us the screen
time. I know, and now I'm like, oh, yeah.
Now she's on TikTok. Pizza talk.
Pizza talk.
But yes, I love memes from therapists. And, like, does this happen to you? Can you relate when you have, like, 10 minutes between sessions and you have to decide? Will I go to the bathroom? Will I eat something? Will I do two notes? Will I rest or be on my phone? Like, those are funny. So
10 minutes between? Who has 10 minutes between?
Well, I guess most people have 5 to 7 minutes. But that's the kind of stuff I like. So if you see those on our page or have some that you want me to post that you think are funny or just want to share with us, you can DM and I will decide if we'll post them. But I love meme sharing. So feel free to slide into the DMs.
Yes. Slide on in. Morgan and I mean, I feel like Morgan and I mainly do the Instagram, right, Maya?
Mm-hmm.
Maya is our fabulous editor.
Yeah, editor in chief.
these episodes wouldn't be brought to you guys without our fabulous editor. So, but
nice.
If you do have something that you want us to create, just say Morgan's name in there in that DM because I'm the captions and I've kind of started some reels here.
Yeah, Nelly did her first reel, everyone.
It's scary.
It is scary, but it's so fun.
My fear is just posting something before it's ready.
That could be a whole topic.
I'll work through that in my personal therapy.
That could be a
topic of fear.
What keeps the void? Why?
Wow, everyone.
Fear of messing up.
Maya has drank water twice during this episode.
I told y'all it makes sense for me to do it while we're recording because it's just a good reminder.
We are so proud of you.
Thank you. Also,
wait, before we do tease up, Morgan, did you have this or that you wanted?
Oh, yeah, I did actually. So, the summer is not over till the mid-September 21st or something. Mm-hmm. But Starbucks and other places have already released their fall menus. And the craze is here. So my this or that for Maya and Nelly is pumpkin spice latte or something apple cidery. And Starbucks might have got rid of the apple crisp drink, which was my favorite, and I'm still processing that, but
condolences.
I've never had a pumpkin spice latte. That doesn't seem like something I would like. But so apple cider.
What?
We can't be friends.
Haven't had it either, the pumpkin spice.
I don't like pumpkin anything.
That's a lie.
Okay, yeah. A friend of ours made like pumpkin bread. That was good. But that's it. I don't do pumpkin pie. No.
Nelly, like, didn't you cry about pumpkin pie once?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I can't recall what you're talking about, but probably, like, I used to just on my birthday make a pumpkin pie, which is really hard to find. I usually had to keep it frozen because my birthday's in the summer, and eat the whole thing because it's, I mean, maybe not the whole thing. No, I think there are times it was the whole thing. Like, I love pumpkin pie. I love it dearly, very much so. Very, very much so. So definitely pumpkin spice. But fall, people be pushing fall too early. Like, thank you, Morgan, for saying September, like mid-September, because why in July was there fall stuff in Home Goods?
There was
stuff out now.
There's what?
Halloween?
Christmas stuff out.
Oh.
No, we are not living in the present moment, people. Like, stores. At stores.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. Anyway, so I guess one for apple, one for pumpkin. I can't vote because my apple drink has been taken from me. And I haven't had the pumpkin spice, but I will tomorrow. My husband really likes them. And I want to try the pumpkin chai. So I'll be back next time with my results.
Love it. Thank you, Morgan.
You're welcome.
All right, people. Tease up.
See you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's conversation. We hope you felt seen, supported, and maybe even laughed a little along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new one. And we'd love it if you left us a rating or review. It really helps more people find us. You can also connect with us on Instagram @thoughtfully_us and let us know what you want to hear about next. And remember, while we're therapists, this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you're struggling, please reach out for support from a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.